vision, it's that's something that burn in you to do things for God. Our team spending hours every day just to try to build the faith of these Arabs from all over the world. I can tell you, almost from every country, we have listeners who are hungry. We use chat rooms, we use TV, we have a recording studio that our team works hours and hours to produce dramas. Our team spending time just to write stories that can touch the hearts of the people. We have testimonies where people cried after they listened to that programs.
The first time I came and witnessed the work that Cross Media Productions was doing several years ago, I knew that this was a ministry that God was using in a mighty way, and I wanted to be a part of that ministry. So a few months ago, my family and I moved here, and now we are partnering with Cross Media to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Arab people around the world.
As a woman, I understand the heart cry of each one of them, the need for someone to care for them. And that is what this ministry does. It is a safe place for them to come and pour out their hearts and be heard.
I was at the beach one day, and someone gave me some information about Jesus. And I was so amazed how much they cared. It really touched my heart. Soon after this, I came to the faith in Jesus Christ.
When I saw the impact of Cross Media Productions, I knew that I wanted to invest both my time and my finances in this great work. Would you please consider partnering with us?
We love you so much and wish to see you holding our hands, helping us reaching the Arabs together.
And I want you to stand with us in your prayers, because this is what will make the change.
Morning. Thank you for coming here this morning, and I want to thank Pastor Joe for giving me this opportunity to come almost each year. We are doing that almost 3 years. My wife Christine and myself, we come here almost in April, and we feel that we are connected to you as a family. We think about you all the time, we pray for you all the time. And I want to tell you that we know that you are standing behind us all that way. And I remember the most beautiful time that we have when your prayer warriors call us through the phone also, and they pray for us through the phone. And it's so great to have family here in Groves, and where we are living there in Mount Carmel, Haifa, in Israel, that we feel that there is somebody. It's not just one person. It's a church, the body of Christ here in the First Baptist Church. And we feel that you cares and you pray. You care and you pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I want to tell you, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Today, I will not teach you, because I know you have great teachers. Amen? Amen? Ah, you're still tired in the morning. Okay. I will do my best to keep you awake. But I want to thank God also that God blessed me with a beautiful wife, Christine. Amen. You know, Christine and myself, we are walking with the Lord together since we were 18 years old. And it's so beautiful to see how the Lord just took us from place to other place and to other place. We're serving the Lord from the first day we got saved. We experienced something, and the first day we got saved, we start sharing that with our family. Some people, they think that they need to go to Bible colleges and get training, and after they get the BA and MA and AA and all those AA things, then they can be ministers. But believe me, since we got saved until today, we have something to tell others about, and this is my experience and your experience, that you don't need BA to share it with somebody. But you need to be sure that you have experience. Christine and I, we ministering God since we got saved, and we got married also. We were 22 years old. In that time, we have nothing to do, but we have a call that we need to share what we receive from God, to share our salvation, to share our experience with everybody we know. We used to walk in the streets and telling people about God. We used to pray for people in the streets, and people got healed in the streets. They received God in the streets. And nobody taught us what we should do. Believe me, we didn't know anything that time, but we know one thing, that we are not the same people. My family came against us, especially my father. He didn't like our faith. And all the time he cursed us. All the time he cursed our faith. All the time. And when the Lord gave us our first daughter, she was 1 or 2 months old. We used to take her while it was raining, it was winter, it was cold, and we took her from village to village, from city to city, sharing the gospel with the other churches and minister God. And I remember one day my father started to shout and cursing our faith and cursing our God. He said, "You will kill your daughter. You take her in the winter. It's so cold. She will be sick. She will die." Today, my daughter is 17 years old. I can tell you, almost she never met a doctor in her life, because God kept her safe. And this is the unique thing. My journey with Christine, it was very, very special time to see that young people can make a big changes. And I want to look in your eyes. One time I was not young like you. I was. But I want to tell you that you can make a change, big difference in this city if you be committed to what God called you to do in this place. Amen? Amen. Today I don't have a lot of stories to tell you, maybe in the evening. But, you know, I was praying for you the last 2 weeks, and asking God to speak to me, what should I tell you? And I want to read a few verses with you, and I believe this is the message that God wants to tell you. I want to read from John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I want to read verse 48. Jesus say, "I am the bread of life." I will use the New International Version, the NIV Bible. This is much easier for me to use, because almost King James Version, I don't understand anything there. So, you know, English is my third language. I speak Arabic well, and I speak Hebrew, and then English. So I'm struggling with the language, so that I use the simplest one. I hope you have the same version also. So, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. I want to read verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but who feeds on this bread will live forever. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. We came to the serious stuff now. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? I want to read verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow him. Jesus said, Do you not want to leave too? Do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom we shall go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Thank God. According to what we read now, we can see that Jesus told the crowds that he is the bread of life. He is the source of life. A lot of people heard Jesus teaching many things. They saw him healing the sick. It was very exciting. They saw him traveling between the villages and the cities of Israel, feeding the people, doing miracles. Something interesting to follow that teacher. But not all of our experience is miracles and food. And something's excited. Our faith, sometimes we need discipline. Not every time we need to be in the glorious places, worship, jumping, clapping our hands, enjoying our time. This is a good time. But sometimes Jesus and God want to speak deep to our hearts with things that maybe we don't like to hear. And when he said, I am the bread of life, the Bible says, on hearing it, many of his disciples say this is a hard teaching. I believe so. You heard a lot of hard teaching from that pulpit. Amen, Pastor? Sometimes we need hard teaching to correct our hearts. Not always our preachers or our teachers should tell us or teach us things that we like to hear. And there is our problem, the church of this century, we like to hear things that we call in soft talks. I call it the messages of chocolate. People like chocolate. In our church, and I know everywhere, people like chocolate, like sweets. They want you to tell them that God loves you. God will take you from glory to glory. God will take care about your kids. Don't worry. God will take care about your future. God will provide for you money and support. And he will cover your overdraft in the bank. And if you got healed, he will take care about your health. And he will do things for you and this and this and this and this. This is what we call it, the chocolate messages. But Jesus, after he taught them a lot of chocolate messages, he decided to change his style one time and say, hey, I am the bread of life. And what amazed me to see that who complained usually, it's not just the Jews or the secular people, the disciples themselves, they say it's a hard teaching. And if I want to imagine what happened, you know, when you hit somebody, he said, oh, That's what happened to them. Everybody, oh, it's hard. It was hard. True? Sometimes we hear hard things. Don't worry. You can say, ooh. But the Bible says from this time, many of his disciples turned back. Many of them. We are not speaking about the 12, but Jesus has a lot of people. He actually, all the time, was surrounded with the crowds. But between those crowds, he has disciples also, followers. One day, they decide to be his followers. And they took that decision to follow Jesus. Until that time, when they heard the hard teaching that maybe Jesus wants to change some understanding of who he is for our lives. He's not just normal prophet. He's not someone that will provide for us hamburger every day or will heal our sick. Jesus say, all what I did for you, just want to tell you, I am the source. I am the bread of life. Suddenly we found all these disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Today I will use a term that maybe a lot of you know it very well. I just learned it the last few months. Something called LLC. In Israel we have something called LTD. What is the LLC? All the business people understand LLC means Limited Liability Corporation. True? What that mean? LLC. You go for example, a company called Ford. Ford and small letters LLC. McDonald's, LLC. Limited Liability Corporation or company. What they mean by that? They mean people today, they like to invest in LLC companies. What that mean? They mean by this that I want to be partner in that company, but my partnership, I don't want too much risk. And I cannot take on my shoulder also too much responsibility. I'm partner with you, but for a limited amount. Okay? I don't like too much risks, and I don't like too much responsibility. LLC, Limited Liability Company or Corporate. I want to teach you something you call LLC, but it's Limited Liability Christians. What that mean? We are followers. We are disciples. We are part of that church. But guys, I am limited. If everything is okay, if everything is running as I like, and as I wish, no risk, no responsibility. I'm part of your ministry. But when you come to the things that you need to pay something for your faith, when you come to the things that maybe your pastor or your leader or your teachers on home groups teaching something about something that needs to be changed, it's hard to understand or hard to accept. You quit. And it's not just you. It's everywhere. This is the church, global church. It's in Israel. It's in Jordan. It's in Egypt. It's in America. It's in Morocco. It's everywhere. We have a lot of LL Christians. I want to follow Jesus, but limited commitment. My commitment to you, it's so limited. And sometimes they don't say that, but from their actions, you know that they are limited followers. I want you to learn it by heart. LLC. Limited Liability Christians. And those guys, the Bible called them disciples. Not everybody was called disciple. Jesus has a lot of followers. But not everybody was called disciples. So that the experience of these people had been different from others. They have closer than others to the Lord. But when the hard teaching came, they quit. And that's what happened usually in our churches. God wants to use you in His kingdom, but to be used in God's kingdom, you should be unlimited follower. There is no way that we can tell God, I'm a follower, but I don't like the risk. I'm a follower, but I don't like too much responsibilities. Because people, sometimes they become followers because they become excited from something. You need to see our people when God gave us that new building. It's a very beautiful building. I wish you can come and visit and see. But, you know, we have beautiful building, but we are not a church that can afford to hire people to clean it and, you know, to take care about it. We need to do that, volunteering work. I remember the first meeting, everybody was so happy. We just say, God gave us that building, and everybody's clapping their hands and shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. After 1 week, I came and said, guys, we need to clean the place. You need to see that week. Everybody was, maybe we have 20 people who came just to clean the place. After 1 week, we need to clean the place again. Especially the toilets. And that week, maybe 10 people came. After 1 month, 3 people came. You see, we lose our excitement. But there is a lady there that she came every week and she tried to arrange others to come and clean without asking her, because she is not LLC Christian. She felt this is her place. I don't need anybody to tell me to clean it. I don't need anybody to tell me that I am part of a body. This is not a place where I can spend my time on Sunday because we have no jobs. That building, that place, that church, it's a body. We are part of the same body of Christ. And God wants you to be part of a body that you have responsibility. Like that hand. God gave us that hand for a purpose. Not just to be look nice. Maybe without hands we look better. I don't know. We need to try that. But God gave us the hands and gave us the eyes and gave us everything for a purpose. And that purpose to complete the saints. And the work of the saints. So you are here for a purpose. And you are here because God wants you to be part of His body. But can you imagine if your hand decides tomorrow to leave your body and go to other body? How you can survive? Maybe with him. But imagine your head decide the next week to just go from here. And suddenly, my head wants to be in the body of Pastor Joe. Can you imagine how funny he will be? That's what usually happened. People like to travel. Because when they hear the hard teaching that nobody can accept, or nobody can listen to it, they say, these guys, they want me to do many things. I think the preacher is too hard. I think what he teaches is not fitting me. And, you know, maybe in the other corner there is another church. Let's go try there. Maybe they are better. I think they have better worship. And believe me, we have believers who leave churches and go from church to church like the birds. Especially in Israel, we see a lot of birds in the autumn because they leave Europe. Europe become very cold. And they want to go to Africa. It's warmer there. You see? They always search for the warmer area. So in Israel, because we are in the way between Europe and Africa, and during the year we see a lot of birds. But they are not citizens. They just spend 1 week there, 2 weeks, and then they continue to Africa. You see, we have this kind of transmoving believers. And after 25 years, You ask him, from where are you? What church you are attending? He can tell you 100 churches that he already have been there. Why? Because they don't have any commitment to what God called them. One time I thought that there is church better than church. Believe me, all of us the same. All of us human beings. And we do the same mistakes. And we have the same problems. And we suffer the same. But the point here, imagine that today Christine is my wife. I don't need to prove that every day that she is my wife. Why? Because we make a commitment when we got married. I say, I will be with you, you will be with me, in health, in prosperity, in sickness, in every situation, you will be my wife. So thank God, Christine, don't wake up every morning and say, Yusuf, you're still my husband? Sometimes we, please stay. You felt offended. We are sorry. Please, no. Mama. Like a baby, you want to just make him feel so comfortable. That kind of churches, believe me, will not last. It will maybe can last as a community, but I stopped to call it a church. We can call it Christian club. But Jesus didn't came to make a Christian clubs. He said, I will build my church. And the church is the hospital. Who comes to the church? Sick people. Who comes to the hospital? Sick people that first they knew that they are sick and they need healing. And all of us, we are sick from the sin and the past, living in the darkness, in the hands of the devil. We came to the church because we believe this is the place of healing. So please, let your doctor help you. And you imagine when you go to the doctor and you have problem in your kidneys. And, oh, doctor, I have something in my kidneys. Oh, no problem. I will give you that medicine. Take it. I don't like that medicine. Okay, maybe I have something softer for you. He gave you another something. No, the color of that medicine, I don't like it. Okay, maybe I will send you to other hospital. In the other hospital, they have the same medicine, obedient and obedient and obedient. And if we don't obey, we will not be healed. So no matter if you like the colors of the medicine, of the amount, of the look of the doctor, if he's skinny, if he's tall or short, no matter, you need the medicine. And the medicine in God's word, and it's in the mouth of your preachers and teachers and your leaders here. We need committed people to reach America. We need committed people to reach the world. I want to read something from Acts chapter 8, and I want to use two versions. I prefer the New American Standard Bible for that. Acts chapter 8, and I want to read the second part of verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Great persecution broke out against the church. Maybe that word persecution, we don't understand it today. Because maybe we think persecution, it's me, maybe my wife, don't obey me. This is persecution. Or maybe the pastor don't give me attention. Or maybe the church don't recognize me well as I wish. They don't understand what a special man am I. Now this is persecution of today. But in that time, persecution meant people follow the church because they want to kill them and destroy them because of their faith. That's all. And the Bible says, on that day, great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And except the apostles were scattered through Judah and Samaria. All. Everybody. And the New American Standard Bible say they were all scattered through the regions of Judah and Samaria except the apostles. This is, if you have a Bible, please take your pen and put some lines under that. Except the apostles. This is a very unique word. Why except? Because the apostles are not LLC followers. Everybody was running away. Everybody escaped, afraid for his life. But the apostle says, you know, we took the commitment to follow Christ. We will follow him in the good days and in the bad days. We'll be followers when there is persecution or where isn't. When there is glory and where there is pain. We are unlimited followers. That's the unique with the apostles. They're not just they follow Christ. Crowds follow Jesus. But the apostles, they have been committed to the one they followed. And God is searching today for people like the apostles. You can put yellow on it. Draw a line. Keep it every day in your eyes. Everybody run away except the apostles. When I read that, I said, Jesus, I want to be like them. Who will stand there when, in every circumstances and be a life testimony for your work in my life. But you see, the difference between LLC Christians or committed believers, God, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, I want to tell you something. God is waiting for us to be committed. It surprised me, believe me, when I tell you something. I didn't meet Pastor Joe. I didn't contact him that I'm coming here. You remember? He just know that I'm coming here. He don't know what I will speak about. I didn't send him by email my message, nothing. I prepared the message in the airplane. But I want to tell you something. It surprised me to see that he gave you just maybe 2 weeks ago the C3. So that C3, you have it, true? And part of it is commitment. I do believe God is want to speak to you, and for sure to me, and to every Christian in this world. Let's be committed believers and followers of Christ. And I want to tell you something. Commitment and loyalty, it's something will cost something. Some people here in America, you say, some people like to sit on the fence, watching the game. But believe me, these people who watch the game, they can tell you everything what the players should do. Oh, if this man just moved to the left and he gave the ball to the other one, it will be a goal. If he ran faster than what he did, he can get some points there. If they can give you plans, they can make for you plans and maps and theology and everything, but they are in the fence watching the game. We have a lot of people sitting there. God wants you to be involved, not just to come and tell what we should do, on what we should teach, on how we should do it. God wants you to be involved and then tell us how we should do it. I want to read from Leviticus chapter 24. And I want to read verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light so the lamp may be kept burning command them to bring clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so the lamps may kept burning continually. Outside the curtain of the testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening till morning. Again, continually. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The lamps on the pure gold lamp stand before the Lord must be tended continually. If you imagine what we are reading about, you need to imagine that big, huge golden lamp. We call it in Hebrew the menorah. And in that huge lamp, there is each arm has this something that they can put oil and burn it. And when they put the oil in that lamp and they burn it, the light that coming out of that huge lamp will shine, representing God's glory. That He is the light of that world. But you need to imagine that huge lamp. There is a lamp that should be lit continuously. And how we can light that lamp? By bringing pure oil. So we have a lamp and we need oil. The secret to turn that, to light that lamp is the oil. But where is the oil? With the hands of God's people. What that mean? God wants to light the lamp using God's people to bring the oil. But the Bible says continually, all the time, from the evening till the morning. What that means, God wants us to do things to bring the oil and the offerings and everything to lighten that, to light that lamp. But He wants us to do it continually. And this is our problem today. We like to start things, but we don't finish them. Because we become excited. And when we become excited, sometimes we pay more money, sometimes we give more time, sometimes we start to attend more meetings. But after, you know, 1 month, 2 months, we lost our excitement and we lose everything. And God cannot build His kingdom with emotional people that they change their minds and their hearts like the weather here in Texas. True? He wants people that they have the heart to serve continually. This is what we call it commitment. Every day, I will do the same things. I don't care if somebody recognizes me. I don't care if the pastor realizes that I am there or not. All my life, not all my life, part of my life when I was dying, I tried to do things because I want to please the pastor and I want him to recognize me. And there is a lot of people doing like that. They like to do things when somebody is looking. When there's nobody there, they don't care. You see? How many times you went to church and you find that believers that all the time they are in the spirit like this and they are moving and, you know, they are, you think they are from other world. But when you go to their homes, they are different people. But they like to be recognized. And this is us. We will do things just if somebody recognizes us. And when we don't receive it, we stop doing it. God wants to build His kingdom with the people who committed to lighten that light. To let that light continually, every day, every morning, in a bad weather, in a good weather, in the summer, in the winter, in the darkness, in the daytime, no matter. You will find me standing there all the time. All the time. I remember a great, great Arab preacher. Today, maybe he is in his 90s. But this man, when I got saved, I remember if this man spoke about hell, you can feel the fire coming out of the chairs. But he told us that story that he was in a big campaign. Great preacher came to that town. And they start, you know, all the church decide to go and knocking doors and tell the people, come, there is a preacher, there is an evangelist coming to our church. Invite the others to come to the church. So everybody went outside, and that young man, maybe 18, 19 years old, he went to one of his neighbors and he, good morning. Today we have that preacher. Can you come and attend the meeting? That man said, okay, I will come. So that young man in the service time, he started looking, where is that man? Every chair, checking everybody. This man didn't show up. The meeting in the evening, he went again. Neighbor, my friend, the preacher is there. And I didn't saw you in the meeting. Please come. God wants to speak to you. Oh, no problem. I'm sorry, but I will come in the evening meeting. That young man looking for him, nobody showed up. The next day morning, I was searching for you. Where are you? He didn't show up. In the evening, he said, the third day, that man, it was Sunday morning, knocked the door, and that man opened the door again. That young man fell down in the ground, and he started to cry. He said, I wish I can see you in that meeting. That man, because the tears of that young man, he came to that meeting and he got saved. And today he's one of the great preachers in the Arabic world. But he came to the Lord because he saw the commitment of that young man and the tears. Because he cared. He cared for him. He did it for 3 days, knocking doors. For sure, if I was there, I will not, you don't want to come? Okay, you go to hell. And this is the difference between LLC, Christians, and committed Christians. Maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, we have a visitor from Jordan came to our church, and he's telling us some testimonies about the work of God in Iraq. And he told us about that young pastor that I know him personally also. In the time of Saddam Hussein was ruling that country, it wasn't easy to worship God and to evangelize the Muslims. And they find you gathering in one home, more than 2-3 people, somebody just called the authorities, they will put you in jail for gathering. No matter if you pray or you sing, or you do whatever. This way they prevent people to be gathered in one place. So that man, he used to evangelize to Arabs and Muslims all the time. And they came and they put him in jail. And you need to know that this man has a family, has a kids, has a church, has a ministry. Suddenly find himself going to the jail. And in Iraq, when you go to jail, it's not like here, you go to another hotel, 5-stars hotel. This is that your family, they need after 2 years, maybe they will know that you are still alive. Maybe. So that man, he went to the jail, and it was very hard time for his kids, for his wife. They don't know anything about his future. And he himself was surprised. God, I'm your servant. God, I'm serving you all the time. I was committed to do what you want me to do and to reach people. But look where I'm spending my time now. I'm in jail. I don't have money. I don't know what will happen to my kids. I don't know what will happen to my wife, to my daughters. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's not easy. It's a real story. And that man said that one day in the jail, the same room that he was, was a big, big, giant man. He's also an Arab Muslim. That he tried to do something against the government and they put him in jail. So the soldiers came that night and they took that huge, big man to other place and they start hitting him and beating him. That strong, big missiles. He came back to that room walking in his hands. He cannot walk. He said all his back was totally covered with blood. They almost took out his skin out of his body. And that pastor was there. So this man just came in, want to enter the room, and the pastor was sitting on the floor. There is no chairs there. And that big man, he just came and he laid his head on the legs of that pastor. That pastor started to touch his head and praying for him. That's all what he did. He prayed for him while he's putting his head on his legs. And you know what? This man got saved and he received Christ because the love that that pastor showed him. After that, he went out of jail and all the government change in Iraq and you know the story. But after 5 years, that the same pastor, that he was amazed and he asked a lot of questions why he went to jail in a time, that critical time, that his family needs him. Why God allowed that? One day he went to the Bible Society to bring some Bibles to his church. And while he was there, just looked from far and he saw that huge, big Arabic man. And you know, you are here. So he hugged him and started kissing him. Where are you? I didn't saw you for 5 years. What's happened to you? That man is from Muslim background. He told him, I came here to get some Bibles to our church. He said, you have church? He said, yes. When I came back from the prison, I started to tell people about Jesus that I received. And I came here to bring some Bibles for them. So that pastor that I'm telling you about him said, you know what? I want to give you the Bibles. I will pay for them. How many Bibles you want to order? He said, no, we already ordered 8,000 Bibles. 8,000 Bibles. That means he has in his church 8,000 believers. You need to know, when we speak about Arabic countries, church is not like that. Church is home groups, underground church. 8,000 Bibles. That pastor understood that time why he was in prison. Just to pray for that man, and God used that man to reach 8,000 people. But you see, this is what we call it, committed followers of Christ. Committed followers of Christ. I want to encourage you. Jesus said, my Father will honor those who serve me. Please, take that decision to be committed, to be loyal to your church, because this is the place where God will use you. Don't be like our birds. Be committed. Be a servant. Be loyal to the teaching that God is teaching you here, because from here you can reach your community. Believe me, there is still outside thousands and hundreds of thousands waiting for you to take that decision, commitment. I hope from today we can change a little bit our understanding of LLC Christians. And today you took that decision, Jesus, I want to be a loyal committed follower no matter what will happen. Are you ready to do that? Nobody? Raise your hand. I want to see. Thank God. Let us stand together, please. It's very, very unique time that when we renew our covenant, we renew our covenant with God. You don't imagine what will happen in your country. This is very important, critical times in your country. You are the people that you will make the difference. But God is waiting for you. Let us pray together. Pastor, I want you to lead us in prayer. And I want everybody to just pray from all your heart and say, God, today, I want to renew my commitment to you. Please lead us, Pastor, and we will see how the Spirit wants to lead us.
Father, we do want to renew ourselves and lay our lives down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which you are our reasonable act of worship, Lord, in doing so. It's just reasonable. It's what you desire, that we commit our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, as we are willing to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily, Father, I pray that as we make that commitment this morning, that we'll understand the cost and the responsibility. Lord, the risk of following you, as our brother has said this morning, he understands that. Father, we renew our faith and our commitment to you this morning. Lord, for those that are here that know you and they've heard your voice and they've discerned your spirit, Lord, tonight, this morning, that you would just at this time, as they can renew their covenant commitment with you, Lord God, that you would strengthen them, give them courage to face this day, tomorrow, and to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit to be, Lord, your witnesses, your servants throughout not only this church, but this community and throughout this region. Literally, Lord, that we would touch the lives of other people, beginning in our homes. Lord, our faith would be real. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you for that purpose. You're making that commitment here this morning. Our brothers asked that we would just have a show of hands as your head is bowed. I just want you to raise your hand unto the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm committing myself to you anew and afresh today. To take the risk, to take the responsibility. Are you willing to do that? Just raise your hand. You're raising it unto the Lord this morning. Take the risk to assume the responsibility of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're committing yourself to that. Praise the Lord. Father, you see these hands all over this morning. And Lord, the faith of these believers, Lord God, you are renewing this morning because of their willingness to ask you for that renewal. Lord, they're asking you to give them strength and courage to face what is going to be before them. Father, I pray that they will enter not only into the, Lord, into the blessing of this, the joy of what it means to walk with you and see your hand at work. Lord, that they would see you do great and mighty things through their lives, Father. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name.